Okay. Yeah.
Gendrous deck.
Okay, treasurer goes first. Berthold, yeah, in terms of a Zoom thing, you sent it out. Everybody's got it. We can follow it. It would be good if you would mention line numbers sometimes when you go through this stuff because people could get lost. But the bottom line I'm looking at here is line 67, and it's cell AA67, and that's your bottom line, and you're projecting that WBAI will finish FY23 about 240 grand in the red. Thing is, the monthly income statement from NETA is showing that at this time, as of the end of July, WBAI was already 298 in the red. So for this fiscal year, 2 months before the end of the fiscal year, after only 10 months, we're at 298. And why do you think we're going to do, certainly it's 60 grand better. It looks like prorating, what's it going to be like, 80, 90 grand better next year than we did this year? Why do you think we're going to do better in that way and have only 240 at the end of the year instead of what we're going to end up with this year?
Okay, that's a good question. Our social media person is gone, so that's minus 36,000 we can take out of here. So we're going to have to do without that. Also, we're trying to rely on, re-editing shows, we're going to reduce Blasdale as much as we can. We have done that to a certain extent. We are going to use more local talent. We're asking Catherine Davis to help pitch. I am really trying to rouse up Michael Haskins, who's reluctant to pitch, and to also come up with premiums. I'm trying to reduce that. That would be about 20,000. So between my social media person and that would be 56,000 right there. That would be 56,000. And the 298, I need to take a look at that because, I don't want to go into that. But
They sent you that, right? They sent you that.
Yeah, I saw that. I'd like to defer a little bit on that.
All right.
Apologies for not having gone, detail by detail, comparing that to what I have. I decided to stop doing that because at one point, NETA was coming with numbers, and I was coming with numbers, and then NETA was challenged nationally, and then so I decided to keep my numbers to myself and just discuss it with NETA, and then let's leave that one number out. I think that number is a little high. I just need to find out what those numbers are.
Okay. All right. So this is, as you're saying, this looks to me like it's kind of familiar. It's just, it looks like you're being a little bit optimistic, but, the social media person was getting that much, eh? And thing is, isn't not having a person doing that going to impact revenue?
Yes, that might happen at the end. That might happen, but what I'm doing is I'm using the constant contact person, maybe giving them $100, $200 more. The same way that we sent out the newsletter, and now I'm having the constant contact person send out the dispatch. The dispatch were being sent from the constant contact, and that was done under the social media person who was embellishing it and all that stuff. So we're going to have to do with whatever we can do. And then anything that we need to send out actually the social media and all that stuff, I have no idea how we're going to deal with that part yet. As far as getting people to do the tweeting and then the social media outreach and then really taking over the podcast and managing that. That is a challenge. That is a big challenge. We cannot replace that 36,000. So that is a big challenge. Thank you for asking.
All right. Well, I should make an announcement soon, but anybody else have any questions or comments on this budget proposal?
Yeah, Jim to the stack.
Okay, Dingman, anybody else? Okay, Jim Dingman, go ahead.
All right, Bertold. I remember how hard everybody was working in the summer before the raid happened that shut the station down. And I remember how the numbers were starting to creep up and positive things were starting. So I want you to speculate what will happen if we have imposed on us a $25,000 wage cut across the board in the next few weeks. What would be the effect of that kind of decision on what is going on there right now?
Well, I don't think there'll be any DI because some people will quit. My board of union employees had not gotten a raise. I've been around for 12, 13 years. They hadn't gotten a raise in 17 years, like 2-3 years before me. The contract was being negotiated. I went over the contract. I did the contract. I shared it with all the executive directors back and forth and stuff. Nothing happened until Arthur showed up and then he finalized the contract. And they got a little raise. And then they got a little retro payment, which is about to be finished, so that will reduce our payroll. If they get a cut, they might just quit. And I believe I think a lot of people would quit. I just leave it like that, open. I believe there won't be. I don't think WBI will be here. I don't believe in this culture of volunteering. You have to have certain things in place, managing things, keeping things going. Otherwise, not everything is in disarray. Number one, volunteer. We need a volunteer coordinator. We need volunteer at BAI. But who's going to manage the volunteer? It has to be a paid person who's at the station regularly, daily, for at least the 5 hours at a specific desk with a specific phone call, phone number, a specific email where they can process those volunteers, manage them, and take those calls and keep it going. We used to have a volunteer coordinator before my time, right before when I started, and then that person used to manage a whole bunch of those volunteers. As the volunteer used to come to answer the phone when you had a fund drive and all of that other stuff. So people just don't come and volunteer, so who's managing them, who's coordinating? Let me give you an example. We have a 52-week schedule. We have a daily schedule that has from 5 a.m. to 5 a.m. that every hour or half an hour that has a description of the shows that are coming in, whether or not there's a preemption for a fund drive or not. And then we discuss every day, all the time, what fund drive shows are we going to put there that is not a super repeat, but that's not going to bore people and it's going to bring in at least $800 for that hour. 3 hours a day, every day, 4 hours sometimes. Maybe you would get lucky, you get a premium that brings in $3,000 for 1 hour, almost never happens anymore. And that has to be coordinated between the management, the board app, for sure. We need them a lot. The producers and the people who bring in the premium, so that we can register the put it on the website. And that has to be done by the webmaster, who also has to get paid. And you have to be double-checked to make sure that that is all in par. And the call center has to be given a nudge to let them know what it is that's coming, and they can see it on the dcwbi.org popping up first. So that's a lot of coordination. Then you have your program director, who spends a lot of time editing old shows that have dated material to remove that, also to find new things, dealing with the new, Back. To edit, to push in there. So all of that put together necessitates an enormous number of work and coordination, an enormous number of time listening to the station. For example, today I've spoken to Reggie either by phone, by email, or by text at least 7 times. And I know that Linda also at least probably 20 times. Linda, you know, sometimes they think that Linda drives them crazy. She's asking them to do this, giving them instruction, putting the news, the 2 minutes news from BFW here, Gavin also is going to go over, don't put the news, move on to the next item, and coordinating all that. And then the money comes in the bank, I mean, and you have to put the money into the accounting system, and you have to have all that money recorded and breaking it down and practically following what vendors we owe or which vendor we owe too much that we have to pay or that service will be cut, and then we have to, you know, juggle that around. That's me. So there's a lot of work, a lot of coordination, a lot of time spent doing that work between me, Linda, the webmaster, and the board app. That's not even including Matt Mazza, our volunteer, who gets paid zero. Matt, sorry for leaving you out on this. I talk to Matt every day. I talk to Matt a few times a day, actually. About premiums, about checks that come from the bank. We have to go to the bank with the check.
Okay, time just got called. Finish your thought, and then we got to figure out what we're going to do next.
I'm done. I apologize for ranting, but, you know, you want to, for bringing that question. By the way, I also talked to a whole lot of other people who are on this call, but, you know, we'd rather remain anonymous, coordinating and working with them. All kinds of stuff. People reach out to me to tell me some program that sounded really good that should go on the dispatch, or something that we made a mistake posting on the website. I wish I could mention those names. I hate to take credit for something that we're not doing, but you know, know that there are other people who are doing this and helping us with that.
Okay. Before we do anything else, I think I gotta read this thing again. This may not be relevant at this point. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI LSB that for the local finance committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. Is there anybody here who is not a member and who wants to become a member and hasn't already said something about that this meeting? Is there anybody else here right now who wants to give us their name because they want to start getting towards being a member? Then I hear none, which I expected because it's late. All right. Time has been called. That's the time for the meeting. And we have to decide what we're going to do here. Do we want to talk about this a little more and then consider maybe having it one way or another go to the local station board at its next meeting? Or do we want to have another meeting sometime in the future about this particular budget? Those are the things we have to think about. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a motion to extend this meeting to 9:45. And so I'm going to do that to 21:45. And so, yes, I'm making a motion. I move that we, oh, God, my fingers just don't work anymore. I move to extend the time for this meeting to 9:45. So any objection to that? Hearing none, we're going to 9:45. Now then, the rest of the agenda we have, the big thing is set next meeting date. So what we might want to do is talk a little bit about the budget stuff, but then we've got to get to set next meeting date. And that will also feed into, do we want to bring the budget to the LSB at this point, or do we want to have more meetings about this budget? Any thoughts on this?
Serene for the chat.
Anyone? Serene Roberts, go ahead.
Okay. And I do have a couple of questions I want to ask the GM. I think today's the 7th, and the LSB meets on the 14th. And do you know if there's been any discussion about making the meeting on the 14th strictly a budget meeting for the LSB? Paul?
I don't know if anybody's going to go for that. The way the agendas have been going, they've been very similar to each other over time, and I think there may be other things. So I don't really think the LSB is going to go for an all-budget meeting to discuss. Because, first of all, a lot of the LSB doesn't the people who are on the LSB who are quite interested in it are here. Other people who are not here aren't that interested in dealing with the financial stuff like this. So at this point, I think it's unlikely that we'll get a budget only or budget predominantly meeting of the LSB on next Wednesday.
Or Paul.
That's
too bad.
Into the stack.
Okay, so I would like to propose that we spend some more time discussing the budget. We only have 10 minutes left of your extension. That the committee should plan to meet after the LSB meeting as well.
Okay.
In case there are questions or things there that are not resolved, maybe the following week, the 21st, I guess that would be.
Well,
and I do have some questions for the GM, but I'll wait till people weigh in on this, I guess.
We're not at look at this. We're not at the set next meeting date yet. But if people have questions fast, and Bertold will answer them fast on the on the budget, we can maybe get this to work. Who else wants to be in a stack?
May I do that? May I ask the GM the questions?
Oh, okay. You want to be one.
No,
who
no,
else?
I thought you wanted to talk about the process.
Okay. Well, I think we did a little bit. And I think that the main thing we need to do now is if people have any questions regarding this budget, maybe we can get them out of the way and see what we can do.
Okay.
Okay, so we have one person who wants to talk about the budget. Anybody else want to have any questions or stuff about the budget?
Matt.
Anybody else?
Nancy.
Jim to the stack.
Okay, somebody before Jim. Well, who was it?
Sam.
Daryl.
Oh, Nancy.
It was the people from Texas.
Did you hear Daryl?
Okay, so we have Serene Roberts, Matt Mazza, Nancy, Daryl, and who? Okay. Was that Dingman?
James.
Sagerton.
Yeah, that was Dingman. That was Dingman on Paul.
Okay, Dingman first. Okay, we're not gonna get this done in a few minutes, so we're probably gonna extend again, I guess. All right, that's what we have right now. Roberts, Serene Roberts, Matt Mazza, Nancy, Daryl, Jim Dingman, James Sagerton. That's what we got right now. So Serene Roberts,
can we just extend now till 10, so we don't have to break up to do it later?
Why don't we just go to quarter two, and maybe a miracle will happen.
Okay.
It's a miracle.
Hey, Berthold, are you there?
Hi, Serene.
Oh, okay, great. So three quick things. One, you know, it's been my thing for like decades. The subcarrier rent, that we have two subcarrier settings that I believe both are in use. I do not understand why the rents for the use of those signals are not being credited to WBAI. I'd like to know your thinking about that. The second thing is, with regard to the people who are labeled as contractors, which, you know, it's always a little issue because they're not coming through the union, they're not coming through any hiring process, they're not coming through any firing process, they don't get benefits, and they don't have the Department of Labor protection in terms of they have to get paid every 2 weeks with payroll. So that's a real concern for me because there's nothing, people got to live, they got to pay bills regardless of whether you call them employees or contractors. They're really doing pretty much the same work. So I'd like to have that addressed. And the third thing is, they're really, you know, and this, I mentioned this before when we were talking about the problem with the central services and not having a real number that reflects the station's income over the, I think it used to be what, maybe it was 15%. It was revised downward, I thought, to something like 15% of your average over the past 5 years or something like that, I think was the formula at one point. But if we're not working with real numbers, what the hell are we doing? We're setting up the national office to expect money that they're not going to get, setting up the archives to expect money that they're not going to get. And when their budgets aren't working, you know, not only can they not help out anybody else who's having a problem, but the stations that are doing better, whatever that means, you know, become extremely resentful because they don't even know if the numbers that they're being asked to pay are real numbers. So if you could touch on those three things, please.
All right. Quickly, the sub carrier, from the time I became a general manager, I questioned it. You know, I mean, I think you were part of that, you know, for the past 13 years, and I heard before me also that was questioned. I don't think that's something that's going to be handled. I think that central service, you know, the whole idea of central service, how much money is taken and given to the national office, you know, that's something that needs to be discussed at the national office. I think I'm pretty sure they look at the bills that we have, and that's how they do the budget of the national office. And so I think probably the central service should be based on the bill of the national office. Unfortunately, the New Day people are always suing us, so we have all these lawsuits that are jacking up the money we should be paying the national office as opposed to real things that we should be paying for. As far as that's the sub carrier and the central service at the same time. Concerning other people, most people who work at WBI have two or three jobs. WBI is just a little gig that they do more for love than anything else. And then, you know, when it's very difficult to get anybody to commit constantly, regularly to, you know, to a specific day, specific time, to training, like, for a year over year, then, you know, you add a little incentive. but most of those people do not depend on that money. However, a social media person did. You know, we thought we were going to be able to get the grants we were getting to keep her going and eventually have the social media podcast and all that stuff generate enough money to pay for themselves. And that has not happened. So that's my answer to your question. I hope I answered.
Okay. The next person is Matt Mazza.
Yes. I would just like to comment. Jim Dingman brought up the idea of a pay cut. That would be unthinkable because I'm here and I see what Max, Michael G., and Reggie have to deal with every day with all computers. Now, as for the budget, I had my duplicator break down. I told Bertold, and he ordered it right away. It's on its way. They have a computer in there that's old, that malfunctions. Cannot a budget be made? I understand it's like $1,200. The duplicator that we got, a volunteer listener, just brought in a check and covered it. And then we got a $5,000 check in the mail. So we have money coming in. Whether cannot we just back it? A new computer for Max and Reggie in the studio. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Next is Nancy.
Yes, thank you. We have a website volunteer. He would like to be paid, but he's not being paid. So that's how our website is functioning, volunteer. And we have a rule at KPFT for many years. Every show was required to have a board op, a volunteer board op, every single show. And it was really safe because if, like, traffic or storm or all kind of problems, people cannot get to the station, the next board op is usually there for the next show and could help or stay. The one that the show's just finishing, that board op could stay a little later to cover the one who's late getting there. So every show had one. Now, if it was a one-man or one-woman show, then they had to do the cooking and the serving, both. All right, and we're a little station, so we don't have that much money, and we never had a whole bunch of money, except maybe in the bubble economy, but okay. So it's possible. It's not, you don't need genius to do it. You just need a passion. And, yes, the reductions at KPFK, 5 board ops quit. That's true. Okay. The other thing is pitching. I'm very surprised you're paying people to pitch. We never do that. And we got this last fund drive was an unusual one because we, I think I suggested, I forgot. Anyway, they finally did it. They got the programmers to make a cart. You know, asking people to, almost every, just a lot of programmers make cards of their own voice asking for donations. And about, let's see, Lyle Lovett, I don't know if y'all know him, he's from Houston area, singer, and Grant Peoples, another singer, and then maybe two other singers, I don't remember their name, I don't know them very well. But they made a plea in a cart, very short carts, like 30 seconds or I think Lyle Lovis was 1 minute. And it turned out very, very nice. And this was a small goal, like 50,000 goal. Our goals are usually 140,000, maybe 6 years ago. So this was a really small goal. And as of 2 days ago, it was $57,256. So we went over our goal by $7,000. And we had the $52 for 52 years. We still have that cart going, and it's gone up to a total of $10,632 so far. So anyway, I just wanted to give you some ideas. Oh, yeah. One time we had a broken computer, and we just set it on the air. Oh, our computer broke. Oh, And then a man called in and said he's going to bring us 5 computers. And then somebody said, oh, the microwave broke today. And then within a few hours, three people called and said, we got a new one in our house, and we got two, and they were offered. So we got three offers for a microwave oven. Anyway, so think about, you know, spontaneous things like that happen, and maybe you can get a computer. Thank you. Back to you.
Yeah, thanks. Hey. Can I answer quickly?
Very, very super quickly.
We probably should extend. Well, thank you for the ideas. I don't know how much money you're raising at TPSC. I haven't paid too much attention. But we have to raise $3,250 a day, every day, Monday through Sunday. And that's a little challenging. After the purge, when we had Hurricane Sandy, and we went from the $1 million fund drive with Tony Bates, and we lost 120 Wall Street because they had increased the rent by 30%, and then it was going to increase for the next 10 years, so our lease was over, we got out. So through that process, we had to lay off 19 people immediately, you know. We are on top of the Empire State Building. The rent there was going from $50,000 to like $75,000, $80,000 a month. And that was untenable. So, and then we could not cut the contract because Pacifica had signed a contract and they didn't want to let us go. So there were lawsuits and all of that stuff. So we lost 19 people. We lost 19 pitchers. We had the morning show host who was somebody who did the show and pitch. We had Hugh Hamilton from 3 to 6. Or 3 to 6, 3 hours of pitching. We had Earl Caldwell on Saturday, on Friday. We used to do like 20,000 in 3 hours. And just all of that. So we do not really have a structure, a system where people are learning how to pitch. And so basically the people I'm talking about on paying to pitch are Christian Blasey and Tony Bates. I see that you had them for a short while over there also. You know, because they, you know, they raised
I'm gonna bow out now.
I'm sorry. Because they raise about $20,000 a month. Basdale, Tony Bates about $17,000 a month. You know, and Gary Noel about like $50,000 a month. Gary Noel doesn't ask for any money. But so those people raise a significant amount of money. And then you are absolutely right. If we could get to a point where we can get all producers, a big chunk of them to pitch and make money, we have had them record costs on a regular basis. Like, for example, this month it's all about BI Buddy and then pushing the BI Buddy, which brings in $18,000 a month. But it's not really, you know, working as well as you may say. From setting the board up, I am not sure how that would go to get rid of my board app and then to have a volunteer coming in to do the board. We do have no board app from midnight to 5-6 in the morning. So we have a good 6 hours where we do not pay anyone to do the board. And that's that's by design to save money.
Okay. Let me say, I resign myself to the idea that the miracle will not happen. So, what's going to go on here? I know we have more people on the deck here, but what I'm thinking is, what we should do is, I'm going to make a motion that we go till 10 o'clock, but that. Before we get there, I want to make a motion to basically set another meeting date and make that meeting solely about the budget, nothing else. So I'm going to do that here. Okay, I move that we meet on... Let me get my calendar here. On September 28th, on September 28th and at seven, and that the sole agenda item, two agenda items, one, the budget, and two, set next meeting date. Okay, so that agenda, budget, and meeting. Okay, so that's a motion I'm making, that we meet next on September 28th at 7 p.m., and that the agenda be the budget and the set next meeting date. Okay?
So moved.
So we can debate that if we like it.
Can you tell me what day of the week that is?
Wednesday.
Thank you.
Okay.
Question.
And that way loads of people can, you know, come up with loads of questions and all of that stuff, and we'll be able to just get this done. And that also means we'll be able to bring it to the October LSB meeting. Okay, any debate on this motion?
So moved.
I already moved.
Go ahead.
Any debate on this motion?
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Well, maybe, but I have a question. If Netta is leaving on the 30th, if we met instead on the 21st, and I haven't looked at KPFTX, I don't know if that's a conflict for anyone, but if we met on the 21st, that would mean it could be brought back to the NFC and the CFO would be present.
Well, yeah, but that will cut out the local station board. I mean, that really cuts them right out. And, you know,
then,
I don't think we're going to be taxing anybody's ability to do things by going in there. I mean, looking at what's gone on so far, how much time it's taken to get a little bit done, the budgets are going to go into October anyway. And I think our budget probably is not going to be, it's not going to be able to change that much. So, yeah, so I guess I'm saying, yeah, we should do it the way I'm suggesting. Anyway, and I don't think any team not being there for us will really do it. I think they're going to be dealing with a lot of transitional stuff, which is really important. Anybody else want to discuss this motion? Not hearing any. Is there any objection to the motion that we meet next on September 28th at 7, and that the agenda be the budget and set next meeting after that? Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, it's passed.
I want to look at kpftx.org.
I just looked.
Give me a second. And it's totally clear?
Well, the 28th is KPFK Finance and Governance.
Well, some of us are on the Governance Committee.
But that's 8:30. We're meeting at 7.
It is possible. We could, yeah, certainly people could, you know, get their stuff in for an hour and a half. And maybe even, oh, golly, get the meeting to end by then.
Ha ha.
Yeah, well, that's always a problem.
The Wednesday before is open.
The problem always is that getting the committee to meet on 2 weeks' notice has notoriously been bad for the committee. We've just not been able to do it.
I think this close to the budget, you know, it would be awesome to go into the fiscal year with the budget actually in place. I don't know, since the 21st is completely clear, I think we should try it. I mean,
you're cutting out the LSP. All right, you want to make an amendment? Okay, why don't you make an amendment?
Yeah, the 21st, that there's no meeting conflict. And if the LSB decides they want to meet on the 28th, a week after we meet, that'll be great. That'll be available to them.
Okay, so you want to make it that we would meet next on September 21st. Okay. I'll say the DLSB isn't going to move to meet on the 28th. I don't think that's realistic.
But
there we go. So any further debate on this particular thing?
I'll put
okay.
Just
go ahead.
Only the budget. That's only the budget.
You're completely breaking up. I can't hear you.
Yeah, my phone is going to disappear. Only the budget, I ask.
Yes. The budget and set next meeting date after that. Okay. So the only difference between the main motion I made and the amendment she made is mine is to meet on September 28th. Hers is to meet on September 21st. So, all right, is there any, I guess we're going to vote on this one. And let me get to where we are going to vote.
Why don't you ask if there's any objections?
I'll object. I want to meet on the 28th. I think that's a better time.
Well, but governance people will be so tired.
Well,
this is New York, not other parts of America.
Let me. All right, and I had a point I was about to make, and I can't remember what it is because I'm getting too tired. All right. Okay, so we have the amendment right now to make it the 21st, and if that passes, it'll amend the thing, and we'll go through that. All right. What's on the floor now is we're voting on an amendment to make it 2 weeks from now, and I would ask that if people are going to vote for that, that they consider that that means they're committing to coming here, to coming to a meeting on the 21st, not vote for it and then not show up on the 21st. Okay. Adriana Kasanov. Did you leave? Jack DePalma.
Yes.
Jim Dingman.
To meet on the 21st? No.
Okay. Anita Hawkins. William Heerwagen.
Yes.
John Hoffman.
No.
Noel Jameson.
Yes.
Matt Wogan. R. Paul Martin. No. Matt Mazza.
No.
Carolyn McIntyre.
I think she's a no. Hang on a second.
Carolyn McIntyre, we can't hear you. All right, I'll come back. Daryl McPherson?
Yes.
Carolyn, you're a no.
Daryl McPherson's, yes. Bertold Reimers?
Abstain.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
No.
Jeffrey Stern? Jeffrey Stern, we don't hear you. I will come back. Neil Voss? Neil Voss? Did everybody leave?
Carolyn McIntyre says no.
Abstain.
Oh. Okay, hold on a second. All right. McIntyre, no. Who's abstaining?
Neil.
Neil Voss is abstaining. Jeffrey Stern, do you hear me yet? Michael D.D. White?
No.
Okay. M.K. Williams?
No. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Bruce Greif?
Abstain.
All right, going back to people who I think are here. Adriana Kasanov. Last call.
Paul, can I still change my vote to no?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. This is Jack DePalma.
Yes. So, Adriana, I think you're not here. Anita Hawkins, not here.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Anita Kasanov. How do you vote?
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, thank you. Anita Hawkins, Pat Logan, Jeffrey Stern. I think we lost our timekeeper. Okay, and that's that. That's everybody here. 4-4-9 against 3 abstentions. Okay. So then we go to the the amendment fails. So then we go to the main motion, which is to meet on September 28th at 7 p.m., and the agenda will consist solely of the budget and set next meeting date. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none. That's passed without objection. And, we're past our time. Unless somebody wants to make a motion to extend the time for this meeting, we're going to adjourn it. Is there anybody who wants to make that
motion? I want to extend to exhaust the stack.
You want to what?
Extend to exhaust the stack.
Okay. Let's see. The stack is now Daryl, Dingman, and Sagerton.
Mr. Chairman, can you put me last, please?
You want to be last. Okay, hold on.
Move to extend 6 minutes.
Okay, so I would say, extend the stack. That means anybody starts bloviating, we're shot. It is 22-4. How about we go to, 3 people. Is it 3? 3 people, 2 minutes each to 12 minutes after. How about till 10:12, okay? All right, so Jim, could we make your motion to extend to be to extend to 10:12?
That's what.
Okay, so that's it. Is there any objection to extending the meeting till 10:12? Hearing none, we're doing that. And the next person, and Daryl wants to be at the end. The next person then is Jim Dingman.
All right, thank you. First, I'm glad we postponed to the 28th because we will at least have an idea of what 2x4 is going to come down on us in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be better equipped to deal with that. Secondly, in the discussion that was raised earlier, Bertolt outlined how strip programming shows and hosts were able to perform better than singular hosts doing shows. In other words, someone heard every day, like Hugh Hamilton, like Esther Ma, etc. They did a pretty good job in raising money, and that has been a consistent issue. And the issue that was raised earlier by one of our colleagues from the Lone Star State there about paying people to pitch, it also has been proven that that money is intelligently spent because they do more and get more for the bucks. Now, I have a question to Bertolt in a second. And this SCEA money is constantly raised, and I just want to clarify the history of that very quickly. One, back in the early 80s, there was a fight over controlling the SCA money that occurred in Pacifica. The battle was lost to retain control of it to the stations. It went to the national office. Now, as I understand it, KPFK does not get any money from SCA money anymore. I was asked people in California that a few days ago. And Bertolt can clarify, I don't know what the situation is in New York. I don't think SCA money is coming in now. He can clarify that and correct me if I'm wrong. In the past, of course, in the early 90s, it was a significant amount of money. I recall at least $30,000 coming into New York. So it's an interesting question how we can exploit that or not going forward. Now, the question I have to Bertold, all the time it's raised that you should allow or change at least a little bit the nature of fundraising and go and see if we should go with a traditional marathon. In other words, let everybody have a shot to raise money. Let's see if they can do it, et cetera, et cetera. And I wonder what your thoughts are on essentially organizing a traditional marathon as opposed to this weekly, daily strategy you're doing to see how it works and essentially see if people are willing to support these shows that people, of course, I've heard some grandiose comments lately in the past 2 weeks, claim that they can make thousands of dollars with their show if they're just honestly heard. I wonder what your thoughts are.
Okay, I'm going to next have James Sagerton go, and Bertold can talk at the end if there's any time left. So, James Sagerton, go ahead.
Thank you, R. Paul. Bertold, if you get a moment, if you could just explain a little bit about, without violating any confidences, any confidentiality, there was a comment made about that the social media person made that much money. If you could just say a word about how that was being handled, that would be helpful. And I just, my question is, the people who get stipends or who are listed as consultants or contractors who are the on-air hosts, I'd like you to think about for our next meeting getting a total for that number, for that expense. The reason is, you know, we got certain management tasks and technical things that have to be done, as you pointed out. And I don't doubt that we need paid people to do those things. But then the question comes, well, we're approaching already a $300,000 deficit. And we know from last year, the NFC and the PMB are not going to tolerate a $300,000 deficit in our new budget. And we know that there are three stations not paying any central services. We know now that there's a fourth station, WPFW, that is indeed, in contrast to what was said earlier, is indeed in trouble with their payroll this time around, because of, you know, maybe not such a smart move to quickly cut their regular fundraising and go to this new model. But nonetheless, they have a payroll question this time around. And if they don't make payroll, they can't pay central services. So, the bottom line is we're going to face cuts, as Jim Dingman put it, the 2x4. So I did hear you say at one point, so I'd like to know what that number is so we can get people who, as somebody said, for the love of being on the air or for the love of the station might come on board and be on the air at no cost to us. And we, you know, we are WVAI. I think we can adjust for the demographic issues that can arise in those kinds of circumstances and make it work. But the final thing I want to say is I need you to stay involved. It's not enough for you to say we are where we are and we can't afford to lose a stitch and I'm just going to let them tell me where to cut. I need you not to do that. We need you involved to guide where they're going to demand that we cut, you know, to try and have the least damage involved. So I'm hoping that you'll stay involved with that process. So
and Bertold can answer after this. Daryl, you're next and you're the last stacked person. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for allowing me to speak. One, I'd like everybody who's listening to look at and explain and contact me. My number is 347-382-0854, because maybe I'm delusional. However, I really would like a very heavy critique on the Good Search project, getting people to get off of Google and get onto Good Search with BAI or any other nonprofit as their charity of choice. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I'd like to ask Bertold, you know, when he makes his comment, what we need to do as members of WBAI to A, increase the audience, and B, bring in more money. Because it's insane to run a 24/7 operation on less than $3 million a year. It's like, just doesn't make any sense. And some of this talk that we're hearing about, you have to take an axe to this. There are 100 billionaires that live in New York City. I mean, if we aren't unable to unlock $3 million to run this radio station, then I think there's something seriously wrong with the board. And if the board doesn't think that fundraising is important and the producers don't think fundraising is important, then maybe we're wasting our time, and we need to look at a different way to get the message out that everyone needs to eat, everyone needs to be housed, everyone needs to have clean food and clean water. Hardly any of that is happening right now. Thank you for your time.
Okay, Berthold, why don't you very quickly answer some of those, and then we're probably going to end this meeting. Berthold? We don't hear you, Berthold. Berthold?
Yes.
Go ahead, Berthold.
First of all, yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now.
Yeah. My wife was calling me on the other line. Sorry. First of all, Dale, I absolutely agree with you, and I admire your quote-unquote obsession with the good search. I think that's what's needed to push this thing to continuously. And I'm not sure how to get you to transfer that obsession and that passion is a better word, to the WBI community, all of us. Second, you're absolutely right that we as a community cannot reach and get a few more dollars. Like when I was talking to Arthur Schwartz today, you know, about something, and then I said, yeah, we're about $28,000 short a month. And he said, that's all? You know, it's like, it's not really a lot of money. And then it's like, it's sickening, amazing, that we cannot get $30,000 more a month, you know, to bring in to WBI. Between the board, me, management, the producers, the listener, and everybody else involved, including in here. That's like, it's like, what the heck? Are we like a... Anyways, so you absolutely agree with me on that. Now, I will go to James Targeton. Well, thank you, James. James, you know, is pushing and encouraging, you know, that we actively participate in this. And, you know, James has been working with me for, like, past 2 years trying to figure out how to make more money to get rid of that deficit. Because, you know, I mean, it's not a matter of giving up. It's just a matter of, you know, tried everything. The podcast project has not worked yet. You know, try to increase BI Buddy. You know, you have your tower fund. You know, it brings a lot of money, and then you're short. and you have the producers. A lot of the producers are not coming up with pitching. Now, that brings me to Jim Dingman's point. This whole idea of having a traditional 30-day fund drive, it's a fantasy. You know, we cannot get three pitch a day, three different premium a day, every day, to make $3,250. We're going to do, Sean Rhodes reminded me, 24/7 for 30 days, every hour coming up with something different for 30 days. Where are we going to get those premiums? Well, if we have them, bring them to me. Because if we had those premiums, I would make $5,000 a day. And by the way, if WI makes $4,000 a day, every day we would be fine. Just $4,000, not $2,250, $4,000. Another $800 a day extra every day. We would be fine. That's $24,000 a month, about $25,000 a month. So this fantasy about if you do this fund drive this way or that way, it's the premium, stupid. You know? It's the 30 days would work if we have the premium. It also would work if we had the people who put in the work to it. In the past, we had, a front drive coordinator, we had a volunteer, we had an assistant to the program director, assistant to the GM, we had a public affairs director, all involved in preparing the front drive, including all the paid producers who had their strip program. We live in fantasy world. And then you also, Jim, you sent some documents that showed way back in the days when the so-called had the good days. And then there wasn't that much more money than we are right now. So we have to wake up. And we have to focus on the idea that we cannot do any better than we're doing right now. We have to have grants. We have to have city council discretionary funds. We have to have major donors. And we have to have CPB money. That is the solution for WBA and Pacifica. But it seems to me that no one is focusing on any of this. Yesterday, the committee meeting every day on these things. Sorry for my soapbox, but, these are the things. These are the solutions. It's very clear, obvious. More premium, so y'all guys should be welcome premium, more major donor, more grant writing, a discretionary fund. The city has a whole bunch of money they're spending on NYC and all of these stations, giving them money to advertise things that are not really advertising. It's about the city, or take the subway to save energy and then not to burn gas, things like that. Why can't we get those money instead of NYC? These are not hard. I mean, these are not easy things, but these are obvious things that no one is doing. You're not doing it on this committee. The board is not doing it. Local board, the national board. I don't hear the executive director talking about these things. CPB money, grants, measure donor. I don't hear anybody talking about this. But that's why, James, I'm a little disgusted.
Okay. Unless somebody wants to make a motion to extend the time, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Hearing no such motion, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. See you in 3 weeks. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you all, Paul. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.